Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In Psalm 139, verse 14, as David praised the intimacy with which God knows mankind, he also exulted in how magnificently God created the human body. David said, "I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our Creator equipped us with many redundant systems, which not only enhance the functioning of those parts, but also enable us to continue to make use of these systems, even if one part fails. This is particularly true of our eyes. Having two eyes gives us a broader panorama of sight. It also facilitates depth perception. And because we have two eyes, the loss of sight in one does not incapacitate us. As long as we have sight in one eye, we may still live a normal life in most respects. The loss of sight in both eyes, however, greatly impacts one's quality of life. A blind person cannot enjoy, for example, those things that may only be experienced visually. Other activities, such as reading or writing, can be learned, but are made somewhat more difficult by blindness. Such simple tasks as getting dressed in the morning or walking down the street are greatly complicated by a lack of sight. Modern techniques and training enable the blind to function in ways that were inconceivable in ancient times. In those days, a blind person was totally dependent on someone to guide them from place to place. This made the work of a guide extremely important. It takes very little imagination to envision what would happen if one blind person guided another blind person. The absurdity and danger of such an enterprise is perhaps one reason why the Lord spoke of blind guides as he preached among the Jews. In the first century, the religious leaders of the Jews were members of two primary sects, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jews of various tribes could be members of these respective sects, but the priests who served in the temple were taken only from the tribe of Levi, as the law of Moses required. During the Babylonian captivity, the Jews were physically separated from the temple and could not perform the sacrifices that the law required of them. In order to retain knowledge of God's law and offer worship to Him while in exile, the Jews developed the synagogue. They would gather together on the Sabbath in these meeting places and would read from the Scriptures, sing praises to God, and teachers would expound on the Scriptures. These teachers, called rabbis in the Hebrew dialect, became very important and prominent in the Jewish religion. After the exile, these rabbis exerted their influence and constructed meticulous rules by which the Jewish people were to live. These rules were the rabbis' interpretations and applications of the law of Moses. The strictest interpreters of the law were the Pharisees, while the Sadducees tended to be more liberal in their interpretations. At the time of the Lord's ministry on the earth, these traditions were still in oral form. They had not been codified into a written collection. When they were written down in about 200 AD, these traditions became known as the Mishnah. In our time, we would call such a collection of interpretations a commentary on the Scriptures. However, as Jesus pointed out in his confrontations with the Jews, these interpretations and traditions had risen to the level of law and often were contradictory to God's law. There are three times in the New Testament in which Jesus used the term blind guides. Two of these instances occur in Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus gave his most scathing denunciation of the scribes and Pharisees. In both instances, the Lord contrasted the self-serving and erroneous teachings and actions of these leaders against the true teaching of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 16, the Lord said, "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated.'" Now, this tradition of the Pharisees and scribes gave them legal loopholes by which they could get out of their vows, whether made to God or to men. In verses 18 and 19, the Lord also condemned their traditions of holding one accountable who swore by the offering on the altar, but excusing the one who swore only by the altar itself. In this case, their tradition mocked God's law on the making of oaths or vows. God's law was very simple. Whoever made a vow or took an oath before God was required to keep it. In Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, Moses said, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." Now Moses underscored this law by repeating it in detail in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 21 to 23. To fail to keep one's own vow or oath to God profaned the name of God. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12 tells us this. And this is why Jesus called the scribes and Pharisees blind guides. You see, they were the spiritual guides of the Jewish people, but had closed their eyes to the truth. In so doing, they were leading the people away from God. The second instance in which we find this term blind guides in Matthew chapter 23 is in verse 24. Jesus said, "You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." Now in this case, the Lord was referring to the practice of tithing the smallest garden herbs. The scribes and Pharisees did this to show how pious they were. But at the same time, the Lord said that they were neglecting justice, mercy, and faithfulness, things that the Lord called the weightier provisions of the law. Now here the Lord was reacting to the fact that these Jewish leaders made a pretense of keeping the law while actually living ungodly lives. They cared nothing for the legitimate needs of the people they led. They only cared about maintaining their positions of power while keeping the people in subjection to them. As the spiritual guides of the people, they were teaching them to mock the law by feigning fidelity to it. They had closed their eyes to the law and thus were leading the people astray. The third place in the New Testament in which Jesus spoke of blind guides is in Matthew chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. This statement by the Lord came about as a result of a comment made to him by the disciples. In verse 12, the disciples asked the Lord if he knew that he had offended the Pharisees by saying that it is what comes out of a man's mouth that defiles him. He had made this comment after a confrontation with the Pharisees and scribes over their traditions. In verses 13 and 14, the Lord made two strongly worded statements. The first was that the Father would uproot any plant that he had not planted. The Lord clearly meant the Pharisees and scribes when he said this, but then to remove any doubt, he called them blind guides of the blind. He then said, "If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." A look at the context shows us why the Lord called the scribes and Pharisees blind guides on this occasion. In verses 1 and 2, they had complained to Jesus that his disciples did not follow their tradition of performing ritual washing before eating a meal. The Lord ignored their complaint and in verses 4 through 6 indicted them for setting aside the law of Moses by means of their traditions. Specifically, these leaders had established a tradition by which a Jew could be freed from his obligation to care for his aged parents. If that Jew told them that he had dedicated his resources to God, he was thereby released from his obligation to take care of his parents. Jesus called these Jewish leaders hypocrites, and he quoted the prophet Isaiah, who recorded God's condemnation of his people in Isaiah 29 and verse 13. The key point was that the leaders of the Jews were teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. Because of this, their worship was vain, Jesus said. Because of this, Jesus called them hypocrites and blind guides. Because of this, these Jewish leaders would be uprooted by God, and they and those who followed them would fall into a pit. Now this is the language of judgment and condemnation. In the parable of the tares in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, the Lord said that the tares would be gathered up at harvest, uprooted if you will, and cast into the fire. Blind guides are tares, and judgment is coming to them. The imagery of a pit as a place of confinement for the wicked is also clearly seen in Scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, Peter spoke of angels who had sinned and said that God had committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. Blind guides will not only fall into such pits, but they will take with them all who follow them. Now, we recognize that most blindness is not the result of intentional actions taken by the one who becomes blind. Those who are blind were either born without the ability to see or became blind by accident or disease. This kind of blindness is tragic and regrettable, but it is not the kind of blindness of which the Lord spoke. You see, the Lord's condemnation was reserved for those who purposely blinded themselves to the truth in order to pursue their own desires. In John chapter 9, the Lord healed a blind man who had been that way since birth. This was a notable miracle and one of the signs that would identify the promised Messiah. The leaders of the Jews took offense because this miracle was done on the Sabbath. In the ensuing confrontation, the Lord said in verse 39, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees, when they heard this, said, "We are not blind too, are we?" Then in verse 41, the Lord said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." Now, these Pharisees were not physically blind, but they had blinded themselves spiritually by closing their eyes to the truth. They should have been the first to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. They should have eagerly led the people to him in obedience. But instead, they resisted him, and they tried to keep the people away from him. They persisted in teaching their traditions instead of the truth, and thus were blind guides. In application, there are still blind guides among those who stand as leaders in the Christian faith. They are blind guides because they have closed their eyes to the whole purpose of God, and they teach as doctrines their own precepts. For example, those who teach faith-only salvation are blind guides, because Jesus said, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved," Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Those who teach that we must have a separate priesthood are blind guides, for Peter said that all Christians are a royal priesthood, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Those who teach that women may lead the church are blind guides, for Paul said that overseers and deacons must be men, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 8. Whenever anyone sets aside what God's word says in favor of his own ideas, he has become a blind guide, and both he and all those who follow him are going to fall into the pit of God's eternal condemnation. When we consider the things that we have studied together today, we have to ask ourselves who our guide is today. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the scripture says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The psalmist was speaking of God's word. He said, that's what shows us the way. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter said, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God." In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, Luke noted that these of Berea were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. In 1713, Thomas Chalke wrote these words, "There are none so blind as those who will not see. The most deluded people are those who choose to ignore what they already know." Friends, don't allow a blind guide to lead you. Follow God's word faithfully. You will see the way to life, and you will be saved. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.